This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's John Dalbank Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see johncast.net.
The night sky for May 2020. As darkness falls, the constellation of Leo the Lion is falling towards the western horizon with its bright star Regulus. Over just to the east of south is a bright star called Arcturus, the brightest star in the constellation of Bootes. Between the two is an area which, though there are no bright stars, is actually interesting. To the south is the constellation of Virgo, and above is Coma Berenices. And just to the left of Leo is a region of the sky we call the realm of the galaxies. And in this direction, we're looking towards the centre of the Virgo cluster of galaxies. This itself is the heart of the Virgo supercluster, of which our little group of galaxies is an outlying member. Over to the left of Arcturus and moving over towards the eastern horizon, you should come to the bright star Vega in Lyra the Lyre. Between the two, there are two constellations. Close to Bootes is a circlet of stars called Corona Borealis, the Northern Crown. And then over towards Vega is the constellation of Hercules. Its four pretty well brighter stars make up what's called the Keystone. And if you work up with binoculars from the lower right of that Keystone towards the top, about two-thirds of the way, you should come across a little fuzzy blob. And that's M13, the brightest globular cluster in our northern skies. As the night moves on, that rather lovely region, Lyra, Cygnus, and Aquila start moving towards the south, with those summer stars, Vega, Deneb, and Altair, forming the summer triangle. We'll see those better in June. But high up, almost overhead, is the constellation of Ursa Major, the brightest stars forming up the asterism we call the Plough, or the Americans the Big Dipper. If you look with binoculars at the centre of the three stars that make up its handle, you'll see it's a double star. The brighter is Mizar, the fainter is Alcor. Now for the planets. As May begins, Jupiter rises at about 0130 BST, shining at magnitude minus 2.4. It's then quite close to Saturn, with the two planets coming closer until the 18th of May, when they are just 4.7 degrees apart. During May, Jupiter brightens to magnitude minus 2.6, while its angular size increases from 41 to 45 arc seconds. With an elevation of about 12 degrees before dawn, a low southeastern horizon will be needed, and our views of the giant planet and its Galilean moons will be somewhat hindered by the depth of atmosphere through which it will be observed. Saturn follows Jupiter into the sky at about 0140 BST, and by its end at around midnight. Whilst its magnitude increases slightly from plus 0.6 to plus 0.4. At the same time, its angular size increases from 17 to 17.8 arc seconds. Its rings span some 37 arc seconds across, and at 21 degrees to the line of sight, are somewhat less tilted than they were at their maximum of 27 degrees. Sadly again, its low elevation before sunrise will somewhat limit our views of this most beautiful planet. Mercury rises out of the sun's glare and will become visible around the 12th of May, having a magnitude of minus 1.5 and lying well below Venus in the west-northwest. The two planets come closer together as Venus sinks lower towards the horizon and Mercury rises higher. They're closest on the 21st of May, when Mercury lies about 1 degree to the lower left of Venus. By then, Mercury's brightness has faded to minus 0.7. whilst it continues to rise in elevation until the beginning of June. Mars can be seen towards the southwest in the pre-dawn sky at the start of the month, rising about 0300 BST. It will then have a magnitude of plus 0.4 and a 7.6 arc-second salmon pink disk. Initially it lies in Capricornus before moving into Aquarius on the 9th of May. By month's end, its magnitude will have increased to zero and its angular size to 9.2 arc-seconds. Given good seeing, amateur telescopes could well now enable you to see some features, such as Syrtis Major, on its surface. And finally, Venus. It's still dominating the southwestern twilight sky, and as May begins, we'll still have an elevation of about 31 degrees at sunset, setting about 3.5 hours after the sun. But by month's end, this will have dropped to 30 minutes. During May, its angular size increases from 40 to 57 arc-seconds, but at the same time, its phase, which is the percentage of the disk illuminated, decreases from 24% to 11%, and so the brightness only reduces from minus 4.7, which is about the brightest that Venus ever gets, to minus 4.2 magnitude. Finally, some highlights of the month. Late evening on May the 3rd, we have a chance, if clear, of watching a lunar occultation. As seen on the plot in the Jodrell Bank Night Sky page, just search Night Sky Jodrell, the moon will occult the fourth magnitude star, New Virginis. The plot gives the timing for London. Due to parallax, as the moon is quite close in astronomical terms, the times will vary across the UK, and for Edinburgh, the ingress will be at 10:22 and the egress at 11:05. Before dawn, on May the 12th, the moon, before third quarter, joins Jupiter and Saturn. On May the 21st, after sunset, Mercury lies just below Venus. You'll need a very low horizon towards the northwest, and if so, if it's clear, you may be able to spot Mercury lying just below Venus at their closest approach. Binoculars might well be needed, but please do not use them until after the sun has set. On the nights of May the 23rd, 24th and 25th, Comet Pan-STARRS comes close to M81 and M82. If it's clear on these evenings and looking high in the northwest using binoculars or a small telescope, you may be able to spot the comet Pan-STARRS as it passes the galaxies M81 and M82 in Ursa Major. I've produced a plot on the Jodrell Night Sky page that show its position relative to those galaxies, Bode's Galaxy, and the Cigar Galaxy on the three evenings. On May the 24th, after sunset, if it's clear, you might be able to see a thin crescent moon very close and over to the left of Venus and Mercury. Again, you may well need binoculars, but please don't use them until the sun has set. And finally, something on the moon. A nice object, seen with a small telescope, is called the Hyginus Rill. And on May the 13th and 29th, it lies close to the Terminator. That's a very good time to look for it. For some time, a debate raged as to whether the craters on the moon were caused by impacts or volcanic activity. We now know that virtually all were caused by impact. But it's thought that the Hyginus crater that lies at the centre of the Hyginus Rill may well be volcanic in origin. It's an 11-kilometre-wide rimless pit, in contrast to impact craters which have raised rims, and its close association with the rill of the same name associates it with internal lunar events. It can be quite easily seen to be surrounded by dark material, and it's thought that an explosive release of dust and gas created a vacant space below, so the overlying surface collapsed, so forming the crater.
Thanks for that, Ian. And for our Southern Hemisphere listeners, here's Haritina Mogoshanu and Samuel Leski with the night sky where you are.
Kia ora from New Zealand.
Hello from the Southern Hemisphere.
I'm Haritina Mogoshanu.
And I'm Sam Leski.
And together we're Milky Way Kiwi. We're here in Wellington, New Zealand, in lockdown. Everything is in lockdown. Space Place at Cat Observatory is in lockdown. Museums, the government, everything.
Even the lockdown's in lockdown.
The lockdown is in lockdown.
But we did move to level 3 today. So that means you can go to McDonald's and get takeaway.
And the stars are still on the sky and they are more beautiful than ever because now we are moving towards that time of the year when the galactic center comes above the horizon and it's just phenomenal.
So what are we going to look at in May?
Well, we're going to look at the moon. The moon is out there in the sky and it's quite big and makes a lot of light. And we're going to have first quarter moon on the 1st of May. And then the full moon is going to be on the 7th of May, which is bad. Like, it's bad for you if you want to look at the stars. Do not look at the stars when it's full moon. The funniest thing that I've noticed through time, as I was working at the observatory, a lot of people come to look at the stars when it's full moon. But we are here to tell you don't, because you're not going to see as many stars in the sky as you see when there's new moon in the sky, which means the moon is hidden on the other side of the Earth.
I wonder if there's a correlation between the full moon and good weather, because quite often it'll be crystal clear when there's a full moon, but when there's a new moon, it isn't.
You got me there for a second. I believed you. Don't believe him. There is also a last quarter moon, which is going to be on the 15th of May, and very funny, on the 30th of May, we're going to have first quarter again, so that's quite a cool month when we have so many phases of the moon, like too
that
many.
That must have a name, must it? Like banana mango moon or something.
Well, I'm sure if that doesn't have a name, there'd be someone who,
goat banana
who will find
moon.
It.
Yeah.
When you have all the phases of the moon in one month, what does that do? On the other side, we have Scorpius, and it's coming up on the eastern horizon. I was watching it from the window coming, rising. And it's just gorgeous. And with it comes the center of the galaxy and so many beautiful deep sky objects. So for those objects, the best time to look at them is when we have new moon in the sky or around that time. We're also here at Space Place at Cat Observatory participating in a program by Globe at Night, where we want to measure light pollution from here in Wellington. And we actually went outside with our phones and the maps. We're looking at the stars in the sky. We measure how many we can see and we compare them with maps that are provided by Globe at Night. And from our house, which is near the green belt of the town, so we have lots and lots of trees, which is very lucky, our sky is about magnitude 5. We can see magnitude 5 stars, which is spectacular. We have to squint a lot, but they're there. So it's really good. So I'm just bragging. But it would be amazing if very many people on Earth and people who listen to us right now, I don't think we've ever done any call to action. This is our very first call to action. I'm very excited. If they would go outside and support Globe at Night with their campaign to measure the dark sky and see how many stars you can see from your house, from your porch, from your tree, from whatever your favorite place is around your house, and make sure that you read on globe at night, there are a lot of resources about what we can do on light pollution, because unlike any other kind of pollution, light pollution is the one and only where you can turn the switch off and ta-da, there's no more light. So we can get rid of it instantly.
And we want to encourage councils and companies that use lots of lighting and stadiums to use smarter lighting, lighting that doesn't create a big dome that goes kilometres into the sky, but just lights what you need to light.
And many times people who think of light pollution campaigns, they talk about it as being a bunch of people who want to have no lights in the city. There's always talk about safety and protection, and it's not true. What we want in light pollution is actually to have proper lighting of the sky. We want lights at night, but we want good lights, and we want the chance to see the night sky.
Well, we want lights because we don't want to crash into things.
No,
yeah,
obviously.
I mean, that's why we light it. So there's always a myth that you've got to light large areas for security and all this sort of thing. But, you know, there's a lot of thinking happening now that this is actually really bad for the environment, really bad for birds and animals, and really bad for us.
So if we don't have light in the sky, this month is one of the most amazing months to look at deep sky objects.
So where do we start?
We
could start with Scorpius. Scorpius is going to be about 50 degrees above the horizon at a reasonable time of night, probably around 11 o'clock.
That's a lot. That's more than it is in Europe. It's kind of like 30 degrees above the horizon when it's at maximum.
Now, if you do go outside at 6 when it's getting dark, Scorpius is not going to be at 60 degrees above the horizon. It's going to be quite low. In fact, it's going to be right on the horizon. So if you do go out early, you're not really going to be able to appreciate it a great deal. But if you hang around a couple of hours, you can. And there's some really cool things you can have a look at. Just south, or just underneath, towards the southeast of Scorpius, is those really famous nebula, those really big nebulas like Lagoon Nebula, Trifid Nebula, Eagle Nebula, the famous pillars of creation, which of course is Hubble's birthday
just this week.
So you can go and actually have a look at that.
With the telescope.
Yeah, I mean, it's not overly bright, that one. But
I mean, everything looks like a smidge.
Yeah, well, that one's better as an imagery.
The better
target,
smidge.
Yeah, if you've got a camera. But there's other nebula there that you can see, especially the reflection nebula, because they're a bit brighter. They don't have that red, which you can't really see, but you can with a camera. And, of course, there's also a lot of globular clusters in that area as well. I mean, this is the center of the galaxy, this area. So there's a lot going on. There's clusters, there's nebula, there's globular clusters. This is, we're looking towards the CBD, aren't we?
Towards the CBD of the galaxy, I like that.
Yeah.
And we see a lot of light pollution towards the CBD, which is
the center of the galaxy,
the big halo. Yeah.
And, of course, in that big halo, there's a lot of globular clusters, which is why we see so many globular clusters in that direction. Now, if you don't want to see the big city lights of the center of the galaxy, you can go and look towards Leo, which is actually not too low. It's high enough in our sky. It's about 30 degrees above the horizon, at 10 o'clock. And if you're any later, it actually starts dipping down and get a bit lower. But there's a whole lot of galaxies you can have a look at there. But if you follow the tail, I guess it's called the tail, this bottom bit of Leo, which is, the bottom bit from this northern hemisphere, from the southern hemisphere is the top bit. And you've got the bit on
the sickle.
Denebola. Yeah. So if you follow that line from Chirtan to Denebola and keep going, then what you'll come across is that massive amount of galaxies in Virgo.
Wow.
Makarian's chain, that famous little kind of curved line of galaxies, which is, photographers love taking pictures of that. But you can see so many of these galaxies, even with a moderate-sized telescope, you can see a lot of these galaxies. They're the big ones,
As long as you don't have moon.
As long as you have the moon. So if you go down towards the horizon from Makarian's chain, then you'll start seeing those galaxies that people in the northern hemisphere are more familiar with, such as Black Eye Galaxy, Needle Galaxy, M85, Whale Galaxy, And then right down on our horizon, and you can't really see them from here, Sunflower Galaxy, M106, and of course Whirlpool Galaxy, M51, that very famous galaxy in the northern sky. We can't really see it here because it's right on the horizon. You'd have to be on a mountain.
But you're saying, yeah, you have to be on a mountain and have a super mega clear horizon.
Oh, yeah. Looking out to sea in the north, which is quite hard to do from here.
But we can go back and have a look at objects that are around the Saturn Cross. And we were talking the other day about the Saturn Cross and all those stars around Centaurus that they form another kiwi. And we were talking about all these kiwis that we can see in the night sky here in New Zealand. Like so many kiwis. And there is a word for that. The word is called pareidolia, which is when you see shapes and things in clouds and random shapes. You see things you believe you can recognize. So that's us and our kiwi.
Well, the bright kiwi is said to look at the Milky Way kiwi, which is the gas cloud shaped kiwi, which is what they call it in the north, a horse or something.
The dark horse we call it.
Yeah. So that's in the south, of course, because it's out the other way. It looks like a kiwi.
And do you know, until I came to New Zealand, I had no idea what a kiwi bird is, let alone a kiwi person or a kiwi fruit. I didn't know there is a difference between kiwi fruit, because, you know, in Europe, everybody calls kiwi fruit kiwi. And they always say, I'm going to eat a kiwi. Now, since I became a kiwi, we're like, no, don't eat us.
No, well, you're not allowed to eat kiwis, of course.
Not allowed to eat kiwis in New Zealand because there's like only 4 million, 4.5 million, of us here.
And the bird's protected.
The bird's protected, yeah, so tough. But there is a kiwi fruit, there is a kiwi bird, and there is a kiwi person, which is, we are kiwis.
Well, 5 million.
5 million of us, yeah.
So getting back to the night sky, the Magellanic clouds are not going to be as high as they have been, as we've seen right through summer, because summer's the great time to have a look at that patch of sky that's, around the Southern Cross, Eta Carina, and all around there. And, of course, 47 Tucanae, the Tarantula Nebula, and those other really cool things in the Magellanic clouds, in and around them. This time of the year, Magellanic clouds start going the bottom of their circle.
They start going meh.
Yeah, they're going, oh, we hang around the horizon. You can have a look at Scorpius and stuff like that.
It must be jealousy.
Yeah, but, it's still quite, they are still visible. They're not just like they're actually below the horizon or anything like that, because they're circumpolar here.
No, they're circumpolar, yeah. They just go around and around, but they're up during the day, so down during the night.
Yeah.
Which you puts can still, the Saturn Cross up.
Yeah, well, you can still see Tarantula Nebula and great things, great objects like that. And, of course, the other objects that we are so used to over the summer, as I said, Eta Carina, Jewel Box, Pearl Cluster, Omicron Valorum, all those clusters in that other part of the Milky Way is still really visible.
The beauties.
But it's hard to compete, isn't it, with Scorpius and what that has to offer. Ptolemy's Cluster, which you can see naked eye, M7, that's like a little patch. That you can see just there sitting underneath Scorpius, and you kind of look at it and you go, I wonder what that is. And you grab your binoculars, you have a look, and you see
M7.
Bunch of stars.
From our house, and as I was saying, from our house, the limited magnitude is 5.
Mm.
And that was still visible and bright, and I knew where to look, but.
Well, I think it's magnitude 3.
Yeah.
Something like that. And then you've got, like we said before, these. The string of really beautiful clusters, they are clusters in the nebula, but the nebula really. So Lagoon Nebula, Trifid Nebula, Omega Nebula, Eagle Nebula, the Sagittarius Star Cloud, all this really dense part of the sky, all these stars, they look absolutely beautiful. You go crazy having a look at them. And you go crazy having a look at the globular clusters as well.
And the good thing about it is that you come home from work at 6 o'clock. You can drag your telescope out and you can look at these stars all night long. This is the time to be here and look at the galactic center, because it's coming up at dusk and then it climbs up onto the sky. It goes at zenith and then you've got all this time to look and observe all these amazing objects that are in there. And for us here in New Zealand, it is winter time. So we have really long winters. And I'll tell you something. One of the reasons I love being here is because I can see the center of the galaxy, Scorpius and Sagittarius, all night long in wintertime. And I don't really care about cold or anything like that. But the sky is just magnificent this time of the year. It's my favorite time of the year in the Southern Hemisphere here. It's just so beautiful. So many stars out there. And we're very lucky because with the light pollution, we're really good. And we can obviously improve things. But here in New Zealand, you can see the stars coming from one horizon to the other horizon. And the Milky Way goes up in the sky, the center of the galaxy, when it goes in up at zenith. It just looks like the surf of the sea, like the wave, like the crest that is coming towards you. Is that beautiful. And there are so many stars in those skies.
Talking about stars, if you don't want to see a star, but you want to see something really cool, well, I suppose it kind of relates to a star. Nice height in our sky at the moment, above 45 degrees, is the quasar 3C273, that very famous quasar.
So what's a quasar?
Well, a quasar is it's all the energy given off around a supermassive black hole at the center of a galaxy. And sort of, you can enormous amount of energy, this light you can see. So what's kind of cool about this one is it's over 2 billion light years away, 2.4 billion light years.
Billion.
Absolutely staggering. Now, you can see it with a reasonably sized telescope. You've got to get a big telescope.
Can we see it with ours?
Yeah, we'll see it with the 16-inch. It's magnitude 12, or very close to magnitude 13, so it's really, really dim. And it's like looks like a star, a point source. But that point source has traveled 2.4 billion years to get to your eye. So it's well worth having a look at.
And where is it?
Well, if you go north of Macarian's chain, go up the sky, not north, go up towards the zenith from Macarian's chain, past M49, and it'll be sort of sitting, kind of in that part of the sky, about 45 degrees up, to the left of Speaker, and just below
Porima
and
Zania.
Yeah, so I can't pronounce any of the star names, so Harry does that.
I'm trying.
But 3C273, imaginatively named as it is one of those
easier to pronounce than Zania and Porima.
Wow, yeah. But it's one of those amazing things that you can see, and the distance is just mind-boggling. Not only is it, outside our solar system, our galaxy, but outside the local group of galaxies. It's a long, long, long way away.
And you can see it.
It's like a little dot, point, like a star. It looks like a star.
Right.
Because really at that distance, it's just a point source, like a star. But it's not a star. It's the disturbed mess around a supermassive black hole.
Wow. It is so daunting and beautiful to have these experiences and stop a little bit and look at these objects in the night sky and remember that we are made from the same stardust as they are.
And our planet is too.
And our planet is too. And also the other planets in the solar system, speaking of which, are in the sky. Some of them are in the sky. Venus is now on the western edge of the western edge, and it will disappear from the sky in mid-May. But there are other planets that are coming towards the line of sight, Jupiter, Saturn, and Mars. And obviously the moon has this habit of passing by things because the moon moves around the ecliptic, right? So the planets are around the ecliptic, the path of the sun in the sky during the day. Planets, you can find them in the same place. The moon, you can find them in the same place. So once in a while, the moon has a close approach with anything. It's in that really zone. Jupiter will be on the 12th of May, will come very close to Jupiter. And then it will come very close to, Saturn the day after. And then 2 days later, it will come very close to Mars. So just watch the moon. Watch the moon around mid-month. That will pass by all these beautiful planets.
as you get through the month, Jupiter and Saturn will rise earlier and earlier. So you'll be able to see them, you know, before midnight, about 11 o'clock. Mars, though, doesn't really get much higher because of the way the orbit of Mars and the orbit of Earth. So you're going to have to wait a little while for that one to get up there, well into sort of June, July, for it to get earlier. So you'll just have to, you know, stay up to the wee hours of the morning to have a look at Mars. But if you like your sleep or you've got to work the next day, but you can still check out Jupiter and Saturn by the end of the month, a little bit earlier. And, of course, they're well worth looking at. Jupiter is just amazing to see in a telescope. You can see the bands on the planets easily. And, of course, Saturn with those beautiful rings. Really stunning.
We can't wait to see them again.
Yeah.
We've been missing them for the last month. But we did have a very good look at Venus, which was spectacular in the evening sky and very bright. So now we have Jupiter and Saturn and Mars to look forward to seeing. And also just remember all the other spectacular icons of the night sky here in the Southern Hemisphere. Saturn Cross is really high in the sky and is visible, and it's at its highest position. It kind of almost points down, showing us where South is. And Scorpius, again, we want to put this constellation out there for everybody to have a look at. And you know what? In New Zealand, we don't have scorpions, so it doesn't look like a scorpion. It looks like anything else. Actually, it has so many names throughout cultures that it's not even funny. But here in New Zealand, not only that has all the names that all the cultures that came here brought with them, but Maori here, they have different names for the same stars at different times of the year. So at this time of the year, Scorpius is Manaia Kitarangi, which means the guardian of the heavens. And it does look like a guardian of the heavens, so beautiful. And it's got that characteristic shape of a Manaia. And those of you who came to New Zealand and bought one of those green jade Ponamu stone made jewelries, surely you came across a Manaia, which is like a reverse hook. So that's the name of Scorpius this time of the year, our beautiful guardian of the heavens. And Scorpius holds the galactic center, and we're going to go into the most amazing time for galaxy hunting and deep sky objects and everything that is around there. Not just at the center of our galaxy that is prominent, but all the other galaxies that we can see in that region of the sky that is for us here in New Zealand on the northern part of the sky. So from here, from New Zealand, we wish you clear skies, and we want to say, turn the light off, please. And come join us for the Globe at Night campaign this month, and every month, but this month in particular, because we're starting it.
Yeah, so turn your lights off, enjoy the night sky.
So Harry and Sam from here from New Zealand, we wish you
a really awesome May, and get out there with your telescopes and your binoculars. And if you haven't got those, just get out there with your eyes and soak up the sights of the night sky.
And remember that we're made of the same stardust as these beautiful, beautiful stars. And keep safe.
See you next time.